Hey everybody, on this episode of the Legends of Tomorrow After Show, we're breaking down Season 2, Episode 16, Doomworld. Get ready, we're going to break it down for you, ladies and gentlemen.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
Oh yeah! It's not your normal after show. It's the evil version of the after show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Legends of Tomorrow after show.
That's your evil version?
That's my evil version.
That's how you
get it. That's me being evil.
That is not.
No, is that evil?
No. That's not evil at all. It just sounds upbeat. Hey, everybody. Oh.
He sounds like a Disney villain.
That's right. I'm more upbeat on the evil side of it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Yeah, I guess you're usually no beef.
Yes. No. No beef. Yeah. Everything's great. Yeah, and all the beef.
And all the beef is eaten. No beef to be had.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Legends Tomorrow After Show. We're breaking down, of course, every episode this season of Legends Tomorrow Season 2. I'm your host, Frank Moran. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyCoJackie.
I'm Dave Job. I just got distracted because someone said I should be Grodd in the DC Universe, and I will gladly take that. I'm Dave Child, though. Do you need anything more?
We need it about 8 more times.
Yeah. Okay. You can find me at Mr. Dave Child or DaveChild.com or at Mr. Dave Child on Snapchat or at Mr. Dave Child at, on the Instagram. I'm gramming. I'm doing a story. Yep.
Yeah. I also gram, but it's not as good as Frank's gram or probably Dave's gram either. I just post pictures of cute dogs and cats and stuff.
That's
always
good too.
You know,
that's acceptable.
Yeah. And I am Lucretia Lyon, guys. You can always find me at LACRETIALYON anywhere on the internet, since there is only the one. We've already started off the hashtag game with fantasy stats guru says hashtag Grodchild.
Ooh.
All right. Yes. Yeah. As always, folks, first off, you can always like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. In fact, Lex Michael, he's tweeted in from a remote, distant location with the medical staff. They are working intensely on him to get him ship shape so he can come back for the season finale next week. So yeah. Keep those 5 stars coming because they are essential at this moment.
They're just going directly into his bloodstream.
Absolutely.
As we speak. So he needs them.
Yeah, definitely. And you can also subscribe to the YouTube channel. And of course, Lucretia's got her chat up and running, which means you guys can chime in, which you have been doing already. And in fact, as always, as we mentioned, the hashtag game is a chance to win one of Dave Child's valuable doodles.
Hey, and guess what? I've actually mailed them out.
Everyone
who's actually won one of these, you're going to get them in a day or two. Or I don't know how. It's up to the mail now. It's out of my hands. And you're going to see how badly I spell things and how badly I draw. These are not good prizes to win.
They are great prizes.
But I hope you hang them above your child's bed so that your kid could look up at this beautiful page that just has random doodles and think, wow, I don't want his future.
I don't know. Yeah, we've got some great hashtags already coming out.
Ooh,
here. Jonathan Dimming with hashtag Rip Hunter Cake Master.
I like that.
And Billie Jean Girl 24 says hashtag Rip Hot Mess Hunter.
Yeah.
Ooh, all right. Well, speaking of a cake master and hot mess, I mean, this is the big episode. We get to see.
Speaking of a hot mess of a cake.
That's right. We get to see what happens when the lead Legion of Doom gets control of the spear and how they rewrite reality for their fashion.
Right.
And it starts. There's a lot of stuff going on this week about, like, hey, Felicity's going to be in this episode. It's going to be cool. You're going to see her with her superheroic kind of guys.
We were seeing, like, a lot of people were tweeting at us about what the new outfit's going to look like, and it was kind of leading up to it, and we saw it very briefly.
Were you disappointed by the briefness of that? Would you have liked to have seen her stick around for the majority of the episode?
No, I kind of like the shock of having her show up and then immediately get killed.
Yeah, I thought it made it more, you know, shocking to have her just straight up die and not really farewell, because it's great to see this dark timeline for the Doom. To me, to have her live and be this hero throughout the episode would sort of take away from the whole point that life sucks.
right. So, as you mentioned, I'm the Dark Timeline. So, put yourselves in the Legion of Doom's footsteps. Mm-hmm. Would you be more like Malcolm Merlyn, who wants to just get rid of every any bit of the Legends of Tomorrow? Or would you be more like Thawne, keeping them around so you can just have them be tormented?
Or would you also be like Dark, who kind of kept the heroes around just to hunt them down? So and also had the couple of heroes he liked as kind of
the Bimbo Brigade.
Mm-hmm. How would you play it?
I would probably be more Merlyn, because I love the idea. If I can rewrite history and just make it so it's okay for me to just sit on my couch and play video games and watch TV, and then I'm still succeeding, I think I would do that. I don't need the thrill of the hunt that's kind of happening with the other two. They still need something to work on and strive for, so.
Yeah, to me, I agree. Like, I thought that it was good to hear what Malcolm had wanted, that he actually wanted something decent, other than them all dead. But, you know, at least they're out of his hair. But it's like, oh, your wife and your son are alive. You're, you know, back to your old business. Not really evil doing. You know, he's drinking scotch with Damien Dark, but he really wasn't into the whole, like, you know, we want the spear so we don't screw this up. But we don't really need to kill these people now.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there is something to be said for Thawne's way, where it's just, I want them alive, just so that I can always just look on them and just know that they are just kind of suffering. They're not what they're supposed to be, and that's just kind of fun. If you kill them once, that's just one time. But if they're just a lifetime of suffering, that I can go and enjoy anytime I feel like getting a little pick-me-up, I can.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. That's super dark. Evil, though.
Yeah.
It's like he's like good, but the reverse of good. That's how evil he is. He's the reverse. He's Doug.
It's right.
The reverse Flash is Doug.
We do find out, though, that Merlyn is very adamant about this meeting because he wants to get the spear. And you're saying, like, yeah, as you were mentioning, like, he has everything that he wants in this new timeline. So why does he want the spear? What's coming up now? He goes, well, I'm not done with it. Like, what else do you need to be doing? Did some kind of business deal go wrong? You're like, I just want to rewrite this other CEO I didn't like. I want to just get him out of existence. Be curious to see what their intentions were for this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was just sort of their own protection. Is they've never trusted Thawne all the way, and with him having it, he could easily erase them too. Like, and I felt that was really the part, because Jonathan Demme brings up Malcolm was the voice of reason, and that was a scary thought.
Mm-hmm. Very true. And so much so that Thawne ended up destroying the book that they used for the incantation for the spear. So he's basically, with his speedster brain, the only one that really knows the incantation. So
yeah, but you do get the feeling that I feel like all of them would use it to wipe out the rest of them. Like, there's no way they would really be comfortable with everyone kind of succeeding. They might keep Snart around. They might keep Snart and Rory around, because they kind of see them as just kind of hench people anyways, and I don't think they think of them as the high and mighty villains as the rest of them. But I feel like eventually they would all just, like, fold in on one another.
Yeah, that's the thing, is there's, like, the tier one villains that's Thawne, Dark, Malcolm, and then there's the tier two, which is Heatwave and Captain Cold.
You're putting Snart at tier two?
Well, I don't think so, but that's how they're reviewing it. They're kind of our bitches.
If you look at their bad doings, I mean, there's the people that are season-wide chess masters. True. And then there's the people that really just want to rob banks and just steal stuff and kind of have fun stealing things.
Yeah.
And that's why Snart's on tier two. Not because he's like, it's because he's not as evil as the rest of them.
Yeah, that's the thing, is he's just all about himself and a few little, you know, little luxuries. He doesn't really need to rule the world, you know, or fix a lot of stuff like Malcolm. I love Billie Jean Girl brings up Malcolm can clap again.
That's true.
Yeah.
He did get that hand back. Now, that was something you were bringing up about Snart and Rory, is sure they're robbing banks, and that's what we see him at the beginning of the episode, but we see that, you know, since they control the town and most of the police force, nothing ever happens anyway. He said that Mick doesn't really enjoy that. He misses the car chases, you know, shooting cops with his heat gun.
Yeah, he's in it for the thrill. He's always been in it for the thrill. Like, even on the missions of different episodes, he's kind of just pursuing it just to get that kind of, like, energy going. So yeah, I couldn't understand robbing a bank and not, like, why rob a bank if you're gonna be caught? It's like being God mode on Grand Theft Auto. You still need to get shot and then come back at least and try it again. It's
weird. I like dying on Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
it's fun. Like, you're like, all right, you right. know, now new thing. Now I'm going to just run over people in this round.
Yeah, or, dying know, is yeah. fun, is what we're trying to say.
Yeah. There you go. Try it at home, kids.
Dying is here. Welcome to the evil after show.
And we're going to break it down.
Darkest timeline.
I don't know why I got to stop saying that.
Black terrible. Jones brings up a point, and now that we're talking about dying, Snart is definitely tier one after that kill.
That's true.
That's true. Yeah, he leveled up, as they say.
Yeah.
So the other thing that I found was interesting is that, of course, the Legion, they realize that Thawne's a threat. They need to get rid of him.
Uh-huh.
And Snart says, you know, I've always got plans. And I really thought that with the tease of the Black Flash at the beginning that Thawne's got caught up in that little cage.
Right.
That I thought like part of it was going to be when they all show up at the end, they and Thawne's like, I got everybody. You can't ever touch me. They say, guess what? We already released this guy. So see you later.
I think that might happen next episode.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think the surprise of this episode was that it was a one-parter. That it wasn't like all wrapped up at the end of this one. We're still in Doomworld at the end of this episode.
No, which is true, which I do like that.
Yeah.
So, of course, then we got to figure out like how are we going to be able to get our heroes back? Because they're basically just doing thankless jobs. Jax, man, the Jax Stein dynamic. How'd you enjoy that? Just being Jax being the guy that's just all over Stein all the time.
I thought it was awesome. Funny, and it was interesting how they really didn't seem to punish Jax. Like everyone else, life kind of sucked, but Jax was like, they're like, nah, he never really did anything. We'll let him be above Stein. Be funny,
right? I feel like with Jax, they gave him his worst nightmare because they kind of made him. Like Sarah and Amaya, they were still badass and kicking people's asses and stuff and all the ass stuff. But they're still, with Jax especially, is they're evil and they're not good anymore and they're not happy because they're not pursuing something that's morally right. So that, Jax is still kind of trapped in his own hell. Yeah. It's just kind of a more, I don't know. It's a complicated hell because it's more of him being like, oh, I'll never succeed, I'll never be good, and I'm mean to this old man for some reason.
Yeah,
I don't know.
And we do see things start falling apart when Nate shows up. And out of all the legends, he's the only one that's given a really bad hairdo.
Yeah, I like how that's his hell that he's stuck in. He still lives with his mom, and he has bad hair.
And it was so 90s. Like, I literally was just like, is it Rex Manning Day, buddy? I mean, like, so what is black. With this?
Oh, man.
Yeah, but he also has, oh my God, I'm forgetting his name, from Flash. What's his name from Flash? He has his hair.
Cisco's.
He has Cisco's hair. It just does not work on.
Cisco pulls it off.
Yeah, he pulls it off, but you need to be a certain type of person in order to pull it off, and he does not. Nate cannot pull it off.
No.
Yeah, my favorite Nate line, though, was like, I'll have you know, we had sex, and we both enjoyed it. Like,
calm down, dude. Calm down, man. Like, that's, there's no reality where that's a cool thing to say.
No?
At any point. No.
It was funny. But.
No, I love to be in, like, an argument with my girlfriend and just be like, I have you know, we've had sex, and we enjoyed it. Keep that in mind.
And Seb Russ and Connor Pearson Ward are mentioning Nate's mom's sandwiches. I like that Ray was like, well, at least these sandwiches are really good. She made a gluten-free bread for me. Like,
We get it, Ray. You're gluten-free. Way to drop that in.
It's that thing he pretends to be allergic to.
Hey, some people are actually allergic, and it can sometimes be a problem.
But most people are not.
Some people are. Some. The more you kind of know.
Oh, and Billie Jean Girl 24 says, hashtag mullet steel. I like that.
Ooh,
that sounds like a really good show starring Danny McBride.
Mullet
that needs to be made.
Yeah, yeah.
I love mullets.
Do you imagine that as he's a cop?
Yeah.
Imagine that?
Yeah.
Well, no.
With a bulletproof mullet?
He was a cop. But he couldn't stay a cop because they changed the dress code and said, you have to cut your mullet. And he's like, then I'm out of here. Mullet steel. And then he fell into a vat of steel and it stuck onto him. And
Only his hair.
That's his only power that he has is he could steal up his mullet.
That would, all right. HBO, we got to let us know when they come over.
This is definitely HBO worthy, that's true. If it's anything.
Jody Hill? Work on that, buddy.
Yeah, come on.
All right, so I guess what, Thursday, like 10 o'clock, we'll show up at HBO?
Yeah, after this season, we'll be after showing Mullet Steel on Thursday nights.
Yes, get ready, guys. We'll come in for the pitch meeting on Thursday. Great. It's going to be good. You'll love it. I felt like we talked a little bit about this episode, or last week, but for this episode, the thinking that it was going to really come down to Mick's decision.
Yeah.
And his relationship with Snart, and how was he ever going to be able to go against somebody?
You know what? I really liked Rory in this episode, and I feel like I like that they didn't write him as a grand chess master. I'm glad he didn't, because we were talking about in the last episode how, ooh, maybe he joined them so he can trick them later. And I like how he didn't. He joined them because he made a bad decision. Like, yes. He made the poor choice, and he recognizes that as the poor choice now, and now he's trying to redeem himself.
And to me, that did so much for his arc as well, you know, for both seasons.
Yeah.
And two, it made more sense that he wasn't this, you know, trickster or really pulling a fast one. It's just he made the choice to go with his old friend, and it was sort of that realization that it was a bad idea. He'd moved on. He'd changed from this. And so it was a really good sort of bookend to Mick's arc of the whole season. They actually wrote that really well.
And I feel like that was the Legion's mistake, is pulling Snart out from before they had that whole adventure together in season one. Because that was a Snart by the end of it that had realized that Mick had, where he'd gumped, how far he'd grown. And so if they pulled Snart out like just right before, one, probably Snart wouldn't have gone with it, or maybe would have had another plan. But going back to see somebody who knew Mick before he'd gone through the season one arc and had grown more than just being that kind of like sidekick to Snart.
Yeah.
It was probably their wrong choice, because Mick just starts bristling underneath that. Snart just like, you know, I'm the one that does the thinking. You just follow me.
Yeah. But he's been a thinking. He's been a thinking for a while. He was Kronos and thinking. He's lived more lifetimes than Snart now. He's been like, he's developed into a very complicated character. And I really like that.
Yeah, he's pretty well my favorite character. As much as I love Ray, you know, he's my DC dream man. But it's like Mick is kind of the best character.
Ray, by the way, in this episode, I'm glad he was... He found that he made the gun. He made the Deus Ex Machina gun.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, I'm glad that, because the thing about shows like this is, it's a simple gun all of a sudden that can solve everything, but all you need to do is kind of explain it away, make it, and I like that Ray's the one to do it, because we kind of forget that he's a genius, because he's been focusing so much on a suit that never works, and his fanboyness, and him LARPing to death. And all of that stuff, and now he's actually the one who's in his subconscious is able to make, like, the gun that solves things.
And I like, too, is it never took away from the fact that Ray is still always the punching bag, always the Boy Scout. Is like, he pretty well saves the day and gets zero
he
credit.
He gets no
like,
credit.
And it was so funny. He was like the Will Hunting of Star Labs, or like the janitor, but... Not there.
I think he needs to stay the janitor in order to really access his powers more.
I think so.
Of how many he could make a better suit if he stayed the janitor.
So imagine him next season on the Wave Rider, just like, you know, and just mopping up the floors and stuff.
This is who I am now. It's a secret to my success.
Ray, you don't have to do that. You can put the mop down. You're no longer a janitor.
No, I've changed.
Oh, Ray.
I love this mop, and then it breaks immediately. No, everything I love.
Not to veer off of that too much, but we have some pretty hilarious jokes and hashtags
in
here.
Let's hear it.
Jared Scoggins says hashtag Mom of Steel for those sandwiches. And then Connor Pearson Ward, well, it has already admitted it's the worst joke he ever made, but I like it.
Right.
What killed the dinosaurs, Amaya? The Snart Age.
That's terrible. That is terrible.
And then Ringy90998 says hashtag Dark Canary and Feral Vixen.
Yeah. I also like the hashtag Honey, I Shrunk the Wave Rider.
Oh, yeah.
Billy Which Jean is the big right reveal now. For the end of the episode.
I just noticed Neil in the booth, his fine contribution. The Grodfather.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The Grodfather.
Now that sequence, so when finally he gets when Mick takes Nate over to Ray, they all meet up, they get the gun working, then Sarah and Amaya show up and they have a nice little fight scene with them, but Amaya just like cuts and runs, like where they shoot Sarah, but like Amaya just like bolted out of there. It seems so weird to me that she didn't wait, she didn't try to help out Sarah, she just like, oh, things are kind of weird, I'm gonna just hightail it out of here.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a little strange. But it also showed that that maybe is who Amaya is in this dark Doom world. She's not someone who works as a team very well. She's working for herself, and if it, things get weird, she bolts.
But they hit, but they smiled so much at each other.
Yeah, it kind of, maybe they were in a relationship.
It seemed like it.
Let's all think that Damian Dark, part of his thing, is the Bimbo Brigade. They had to be lesbians. Like.
Creepy Dark. Dark's being a creep.
I love that, though. It's funny. Rinji90998 has a hashtag Dark Steel from when they did that little almost high five.
That was really nice.
That was probably one of my favorite parts of the episode, because it was just like, oh, yeah, we did it. Oh, wait, we hate each other.
So we see at least Sarah getting back in it, and we do have the familiar thing of everybody who gets woken up. Immediately has to punch Mick.
Yeah, I love that. Yes. I thought that was great. That was a great little thing that they kept bringing back, and everyone kept punching him, and no one really protested it so much.
Yeah.
It was great. It was just smart.
I love running gags like that. It's clever.
But I would love to see it one more time to see if he would have stuck to his word. So the next person who does that for me, I'm going to hit back.
Yeah.
No.
But we never
got to it. Well, I was hoping it was going to be Stein.
We still have him to get fixed.
Yeah, so that might happen still. It could happen in the next episode.
And then he just goes wild on poor old Stein and just beats him down. Like,
right.
Mick, please, please.
Please.
He's an older man. Please.
Yeah. In the chat, we have several people like Black Jones, Connor Pearson Ward, really are working on that Canary Vixen fanfic as we speak.
Yeah.
Casket Fan 1, right. Awesome. Yeah.
Not as we speak. You were working on that a long time ago. I think everyone. It's like, finally. I knew it.
I do like the nice little touch, though, that Ray does have Axel, the rat that he gave Mick.
Yeah. Oh. I forgot about Axel.
So did I. And that was like a nice little callback. Like, oh, all right.
I liked that Ray called him Tesla.
I was like, no.
It made me draw a little rat with electricity powers. So if anyone gets his doodle, you'll get a rat with electricity powers. And also I'm drawing mullet steel. As we speak,
We'll need to make a photocopy of that to bring into the pitch meeting.
Sure. Unless you this is just draft one.
Okay, you know, draft one. Yeah. I got it. All right. Yeah. Excellent. So I do like Sarah's plan to at least go back underneath Dark's kind of organization, but basically playing a double agent.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, he doesn't know that I've been shot and rearranged. Kind of see what reality is, what it is. So I'll go back and pretend I'm the old one, the old Black Canary.
I keep thinking, like, I wonder if Dark has tested this before. Like, I wonder if he's always bringing up the death of Black Canary, just be like, Black Canary. And she's just like, okay, cool. That's whatever, man.
Yeah, I like to imagine every day when she comes back from somewhere, he's like, hey, remember that time I killed your sister? Like, just to test her.
I killed Black Canary. Yeah, you keep talking about this Black Canary. I know the story. It's a great story. I'm as evil as you, but I get bored sometimes, so maybe stop bringing it up.
I was disappointed with Sarah's poker face in this, because as much as I felt like a big arc over the season for her was trying to kind of, you know, squash those kind of just thrill for revenge.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think you can squash revenge, but you're still going to have a hard time holding back those feelings when they come up. The point is that she's not off trying to kill him immediately. She just punched him, so.
Yeah.
And interesting, though, that she doesn't know, and I guess with Dark was keeping this pretty on the hush-hush, that he'd gone back and got a totem and got his powers back.
Yeah.
Because I was like, how does Sarah not know that?
Well, I couldn't tell if they remember. I guess they still remembered their Doom lives, like, once they were switched back. Like, they still have.
Yeah, because, like, Ray remembered how many toilets he had to clean and all that.
Right, right. And maybe he just kept it secret and kept it from them just in case. Like, he sent them out on missions, and then he would do his magic behind his back in private.
He would
do private magic things.
Still makes me think, then, I wonder if Thawne knows that, because Thawne feels like none of them could take him.
Yeah. I actually think that's true. I think he probably was keeping it from Thawne and probably Merlin. I think he was trying to keep it as a secret.
But as a fellow magic boy, I like to think that he and Malcolm may have been in on this together. But I have this fantasy that they, like,
just two magic boys.
They do magic acts together.
It seems like they're very chummy this episode.
Yeah.
Out of all the... I mean, I can understand why Snart's a little bit later to the party, so I can see why they're not so chummy with him. But the two of them really seem
and
to...
they've been chummy for a little while now. They've kind of been Tweedledee and Tweedledum in previous episodes.
Yeah, especially after that episode where they had to deal with Rip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can we talk about Rip's great British Bake Off that he was having in his tidy ship? I really feel like they're like, What's Rip going to do? What do British people do? Great British Bake Off. I think we found it.
What if he's trapped in a wave rider and it's really tiny and all he can do is bake all the time?
And all he can do is bake.
I have to talk to his girlfriend.
Yeah, Gideon. Oof. I do have to say that last, like, time cake that he made, that was an amazing cake.
The one with the kind of, like...
Yeah, they were all, like, kind of... They were sloping... But it still looked pretty even.
Yeah.
That's an awesome cake. They should have like ended this episode with "and cakes made by," and then had it a voice announcement just to give them some credit.
Yeah, because those were really spectacular.
Those were spectacular cakes.
I do want to know. I just want to go back to day one of this reality being rewritten. And how does Rip come to that point where like I'm stuck. What can I do?
I'm going to make some cake. Well, I feel like they were... Okay, so their personalities were kind of rewritten as well, right?
Because I feel like Rips wasn't, was it?
I think it was. I think he was made to have an obsession with baking.
Yeah, I think that was their thing. They're like, I don't know. What is Rip like? Or what is it Phil? Like, I mean, what do we call him? What
we
does he
keep
do?
Changing his personality.
Yeah, I don't know.
Let's make it baking. Yeah. And then it's like, this way I can open up the wave rider, take out the tiny little cakes, and muncha.
Yeah, like they were thinking ahead. And we've got some funny hashtags to do with the cake. Seb Rush says, hashtag great rippish bake off.
Stupid.
And then there is hashtag epic cake from Casket One. And then hashtag cake lord from Renji90998.
I like that. I like cake lord. No. Because it's like Time Lord.
But anyways. Cake.
And Connor Pearson Ward says, hashtag Riptime Cake Hunter. Oh. And we also have some Magic Boys stuff.
That's why you said Magic Boys. You wanted to get in there.
I wanted people. Yeah. Hashtag Merlin and the Magic Boys.
Merlin and the Magic Boys.
And
Rex
Nathan.
Manning Day.
Yes. Hashtag Nathan Blatter says hashtag Magic Legend Boys.
Ooh.
Which sounds sexy.
Okay.
Were you guys satisfied with the reveal of where the Wave Rider is?
Yeah, I thought it was fun. I thought it was like, I thought it was maybe outside of time and it was about to go in, and I kind of forgot where we left it last time, but I guess it was with everyone else, so I thought maybe it escaped at the last minute.
Mm.
But I kind of like that it's just kind of on Thon's desk.
Yeah, I like that it's there and thinking about how... Does he just, like, look at what Rip's doing during the day? Like,
is he still drunk making cakes?
Oh,
yes, making cakes.
Oh, God, we've got some great ones. Fantasy Stats Guru says, hashtag feed Grodd child cakes. And then we have hashtag magic behind closed doors from Casket Fan 1. I love that one.
Of course you would.
That is
funny.
Hashtag magic behind doors.
Oof. All right.
And Rommel Golding asks us, how come no one released Black Flash on Reverse Flash?
That's coming up. I think that's coming up next week.
But I guess you want to say about that. But I felt like the Legion was smart enough. They said they had a plan to deal with Thon. Like, that seems the easiest thing to do.
Yeah, there's even probably a button that'll do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're doing two episodes. So.
No, that's true, but it just made it feel like at the end where everything, and we'll get to the whole big fight there in a second, but basically at the end where they're all just like, yeah, all right, I guess you're right, Thon. They're just like, no, what is it?
Well, because what else are they going to do at that point? They should have, if they were going to bring out the Black Flash, I think they would have done that. They should have done that earlier. And then released it, so in the middle of that fight, that's when the Black Flash shows up, because it's really only going to go after Thon.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they can't be like, oh, man, we lost. I'm just going to go to your office for no reason. I know you run at super speed, but I'm just going to go over here and press this button, and I'm dead.
Yeah, pay no attention.
Yeah, I think if anything, they were like, oh, you're giving us another chance. Okay. We'll just back off. You're too cocky of your own powers and abilities, so we'll save up for another day. Next week.
Next week. So, of course, getting into this, the big crux is if they're going to go back and destroy the spear, they figure out that's what the idea is.
Right.
Stein is having being built under the direction of Thawne, this giant reactor that is hot enough to incinerate the spear, kind of solidifying this reality.
Yeah.
And so they have to go back and, of course, stop this reactor from turning out.
I'm also curious if, like, I'm a little lost in how he can get rid of the spear that way. I think maybe, because I imagine that he could get rid of the spear for a while. Like, it could get incinerated, but then it'll reform eventually.
Yeah, that's the thing, is I think it's going to reform. I mean,
think it would, right?
It seemed like too convenient for it to actually be destroyed by this particle accelerator. I know that Thawne was like, I'm the smartest man alive, and that was his fantasy. But I'm like, I think that Jesus' blood still, you know, beats particle accelerator.
It's got that Jesus blood in it. So instead they came up with a plan that they're going to go back in time to get the spear before the Justice Society even finds it. Is that what they came up with?
Yeah, they're going to go back to World War I, it seems like, and separate from that moment when the Legion first gets the spear.
Now, I'm hoping next week we get an explanation about how they could even do that, because right now they're in a whole different reality from the reality they came from.
Yeah, because rewriting works in both directions, both forwards and backwards, through the entire span of time.
So they rewrote entire reality. So they would have it would have to be a reality where they don't know how the spear was discovered.
Do you think they were that thorough, or they just basically rewrote time back to like when the legends were born to kind of change their lives that far?
Yeah, maybe they were lazy. Yeah, that's possible.
Yeah.
I would say that's probably our only way out for that if they decide to use this as a
weapon. Right. And maybe they won't even explain it. But that's if they don't explain it, let's say that's the reason.
Okay, there you go.
So you just ate a future beef.
Oh, no.
Frank had a future beef, and he ate it
before I even know.
Oh, no.
I ate my own beef. The circle's complete.
You couldn't even finish that.
No, I couldn't. Frank's
been doing yoga, apparently.
I'm a self-made man. That's right.
Witchy Mama feels about Thawne as I do about Malcolm, so I'll mention her comment. Thawne being the smartest man alive isn't his fantasy. It's reality. It's been mentioned a number of times that he's a genius, even by future standards. It's like,
Also interesting, too, that Thawne decides to stay in present day, 2017, as opposed to going back to the future.
I think that kind of showed that he kind of liked being
the smartest guy around.
Wells. Yeah, he kind of liked his time as Wells and kind of missed that. And it feels like if he goes in the future, he's probably on the same keel as everyone else. So,
and let's not. We have waited too long, and I almost forgot for a moment until you brought that up about Harrison Wells. Talk about the awesome look of Star Labs.
Like
the Legion of Doom headquarters from A Challenge of the Super Friends.
I think we all looked at each other and were like, yay.
Yay. It's not in a swamp, but I think that's okay. And also, it looks like a big old evil hat. And that's what I like about it.
It was just great. That was such a nice modern reinterpretation of that. All right.
Yeah, and as cool as that is, we have some cooler hashtags. Helena Needs Hugs says #BeefPoint.
#BeefPoint.
And then Casper Fan 1 says #FrankSFutureBeef. And then Connor Pearson Ward says #EatTheFutureBeef.
Okay.
Frank's future beef. That's
Frank's future beef.
I'm loving that one.
Neil has got us one up here. Beef Eaters of Tomorrow.
What a weird show we have.
Actually, that's going to be my new podcast, guys. Got some equipment at my house.
After this, Beef Eaters of Tomorrow.
I'll credit Neil with the name.
We're
about to go on hiatus, so we need something to do.
Then we just beef eaters.
Eaters of Tomorrow. You got some beefs? We'll eat them tomorrow. Not today.
So how do you feel about Sarah's decision to leave Mick behind? When they decide to go, they hatched their big plan to go back in and stop Stein from activating the reactor. They say, Mick, we can't trust you. Even after you've kind of saved us here, we can't trust you, so you got to stay here.
Yeah, I don't agree with that. I feel like he's done enough to be like, okay, I don't think you're trying to trick us here. I think, like, I would allow him, but I think they're just kind of being babies of tomorrow.
Yeah, they were a little bit of babies of tomorrow, except for Amaya. I like that even in the end, she was like, I trust you, Mick.
Especially after the way that they kind of had that moment to themselves at the end on the wave ride at the end of the episode last week. Did we ever really trust him?
Yeah, I mean, just trust him.
Yeah.
I think that's the problem, is you keep saying you don't trust him.
And that was the thing, is like, had you said you trusted him back then, he's actually wouldn't have gone with Snart. It was the fact that he thought that they would never treat him as an equal was why he left in the first place. So yeah. They just then again did that. And it's like, guys, what the hell? You didn't learn from last episode?
Yes.
You really are outcasts, misfits, and losers. did I get it all?
I also do like just that Mick saw Passion of the Christ.
I love that.
Yeah. Aramaic.
Of course he loves that movie. Of course he loves that. Like, I just really like seeing him being beaten so much.
That's one part we need to see. Just that
part. Jesus blood.
I love how excited he was about it. Like, Passion of the Christ, like, I knew
it's
that one.
Movie.
Yeah.
It's a good movie.
Get their Criterion Collection, it's really good. Now, the part that irritated me, though, is that when Jax goes to see Stein, the first thing that he doesn't do is just immediately just shoot him in the face. Just shoot Stein in the face.
That's what they should do every single time. With, mm-hmm. If they have a gun, as soon as, like, the Bimbo Brigade came in. I hate calling them that, but you know.
That's what they're called.
As soon as the two of them came in, why didn't they just shoot them in the face right away?
Yeah, get the gun and just start shooting around.
Yeah.
And then, so that irritated me. And then, of course, Jax.
Would it be
long.
A beef?
That was a beef. That would be a beef.
That would be a beef.
I challenge Dave, eat this beef. I've kind of teased the beef, but now I'm going to present the beef.
I don't have to eat every single beef, for the record. Sometimes I'm full of beef, and I don't feel like eating, and I don't need to eat. But I will say that I think, you know, he's has a closeness with Stein. He doesn't. It is tough to kind of shoot someone in the face right away.
But you know, if this is the only way you need this guy back. He right now is some other different Stein.
Right.
There's no time to talk. Well, we went in with some questions. Like, no. You're all aware of how your reality is rewritten, and you knew you were just an asshat to Stein. So you know this guy already doesn't like you. Just shoot him in the face. He's expecting you to shoot him in the face. Just shoot
Fine.
Him in the face.
You win. Your beef is received.
Yeah. Just. You know.
I don't know, what are you doing if you don't eat it? Your beef is put into the fridge for later.
That's right. Yeah, we'll save that beef for later.
We'll save that beef for later.
And just so you guys know, I would totally shoot both of you in the face.
And I would want you to. Thank you.
I know.
It's good that we're friends like that.
I know.
Shoot me right in the face.
And Neil is giving us the best hashtag, all beef franks.
So then we also see Stein knock the gun out of Jax's hands, and it didn't look like it really shattered so much. It just kind of like just fell apart a little bit.
Yeah. I think he could have fixed it.
Well, it was built by Ray. It was. Nothing really built by Ray is really going to stand up to a lot of pressure like a floor.
I felt like if he had just a couple of minutes, you could easily just reassemble the pieces together and get it to work again. But
yeah, well, listen. Jax only knows how to totally build and maintain a time ship.
Yeah, that's
he doesn't know how to work with magic guns.
That's asking way too much of him.
Asking way too much.
Yeah, those things are like totally unrelated anyway. I mean, this little gun, time ship, they're different, right?
Okay, here's my other little beef. Maybe just a mini beef. We'll see. It could go to a full-fledged
Frank's beef. Tiny beef.
Tiny beef. But Snart, when he comes back to, with Mick, comes back to Snart and says, all right, this is what the plan is for the legend. They're going to come back and get the spear from Thon. And so then Dark says, you know what? While they're distracted, you know, the enemy of my enemy is an opportunity for us. So it's going to be the legends against Thon. We'll just kind of walk in and we'll take the spear under their noses.
I love that.
The way they come in, though, that's no, like, covert thing. They just like, hey, we're here now. I'm like, that is not at all what you said the plan was going to be. You're supposed to be, like, kind of sneaking around and grabbing this thing.
Who cares?
Like, it was fun.
It was fun, but still. Like, what's the deal?
Yeah, I also thought they maybe carried the dog analogy a bit too far. Yeah. But they're like, looks like you can teach an old dog new tricks. Oh, no, it was first like, I'm not so much a dog. And then he's like, looks like you can teach a dog new tricks. And then it's just... And I was like, why are we talking about dogs so much? Where have dogs come from? We haven't been talking about dogs until now. And it feels like it's now a recurring theme. I don't understand.
Yeah, this big, long dog metaphor for Mick. It's like, where'd you come up with this? Was this something that you guys had before you were on the Legends of Tomorrow that maybe we missed? I don't know. I'm guessing it was like a long-running gag with them.
I don't know. I would imagine that's just how Rory feels underneath this version of Snart, this proto-version.
You know what it is? Mm. I did forget every time that they pull off a bank heist and it goes really well, they come back and they blast, "Who let the dogs out?"
Yeah.
It's just really loud.
And then Snart goes, "Me."
It's just a big Prison Break reference.
That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
Roy's like, who? Snart's like, May.
We need to make that. There's a pretty good hashtag in here. Fantasy Stats Guru says, #, been there, thawn that. I like that.
We got a lot this time.
I know.
Did you? I thought the fight scene, especially my favorite part, was probably. And you talked about this a little bit, Lucretia, was Nate hitting Thawne with the spear. Like, man, just batter up with him, and then the almost high five between him and Dark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was adorable. It's like, oh yay, we're team. No, we're not.
Yeah, we're not.
It's. I mean, did you enjoy seeing the? Would you? And I guess we'll see this in next week's when everybody pretty much has their powers back. But you're kind of missing this really cool fight sequence. But the majority of our heroes don't have any powers. Basically, we just got Amaya and Sarah. They can pretty much just hold their own. But otherwise, everybody else is just kind of normal, everyday humans,
everyday dorks.
Yeah, those nerds definitely need powers. Just but a like bunch the, of dorks. The ladies and Mick, you know, can hold their own. Yeah.
I did jump back. I did like Nate's attempt to steal up, just like with the hand.
Yeah, Siva Ram has her or his own beef that they didn't even hint at a reality change in any of the other shows, really. Yeah.
Well, I think we're just on a whole nother reality.
Yeah.
Plane. So the other reality is going along like it normally does, and this is like a whole parallel reality.
Yeah. It's now something. Of course, they at the end of the episode, it all comes down to Mick's hands. Mick makes his decision that he's nobody's dog. I'm nobody's dog.
I'm nobody's dog.
Rommel Golding says #, dog heat. I like that.
Dog heat.
Sounds very good.
Dog heat.
I admit, I was surprised. I thought this episode was going to, because at first I thought, like, man, these the Legion is just very quietly watching Amaya just chant. Like, they're not going to try to stop this at all.
I also thought when, like, the spear disappeared, I thought it was like, but I bet the Wave Rider's going to come in and, like, it's going to turn out it just beamed the spear aboard or something like that. And I'm kind of glad it didn't end that way. I'm glad it's something more complicated.
Were you surprised that Amaya got taken out? I felt like I did not see that coming.
I'm surprised, but it's not high stakes for me because it's not like we're going to end in this universe. So it was surprising that they went there, but I also feel like they can kind of write that, like, pretty immediately.
True.
As soon as everything is righted.
And that was the thing, is it didn't seem final, like, to me. And that was the thing, is that almost just took the impact was like, oh, they did that. And then you're like, well, it doesn't seem final. So it just kind of took that out.
Right.
Yeah.
At least for this state between, I think it's definitely a breaking point between Snart and Mick. At least this interpretation of Snart.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that Mick was definitely not on board with seeing Amaya killed.
Yeah, I think it is definitely, I don't like my friend back when he was this age. Yeah, I liked him when he grew with me.
Yeah.
So.
And I feel like, I think he would have felt bad about any of the Legion, or any of the Legends getting killed, but I feel like Amaya definitely hits a little bit closer to home.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was a good choice to affect Mick the most, because she had made that grand gesture just then, and he had this sort of special relationship. To me, you know, she was an outsider like him, and that's why I like that they had this sort of friendship, and that she, you know, was like, no, I trust you, Mick. And that, in that moment, that's why that was the good choice for his arc there.
So we've got a lot of stuff to get taken care of in this last episode, the season finale. We'll say the prediction. Oh, here we go.
You don't have to. Okay. #, two all be Franks, #, special Frank. #, lettuce beef. #, pickles punions. #, on a special Frank bun.
Yep.
You can't compete. This is for the fans.
Yeah.
He's doing for the love of the game. That's it. There you go.
Neil's our biggest fan, guys.
That's right.
Just for the game.
So we might as well pull the predictions now, because we're going to be talking about next week's episode anyway.
Yeah.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
What do you want to see happen next week?
Well, I want to see those cakes being thrown in people's faces.
Imagine, like, he's like, as tiny Wave Rider, he's just like, oh, get in, man, shoot the cake guns.
Get the cake guns. Yeah, I don't know, because I guess we are going to go back in time, but they also need to get the Wave Rider to be bigger or them to be smaller. So maybe, I don't know. I'm curious to see where they go with this. I'm glad. I don't think we're going to have the same problem as last year. It's not like it's going to end with a big finale of they have to be in three separate time periods at the same time, which was a bit of a stretch of my logic. And I think they're actually they're going to break one of their rules of time travel, but in a way that makes sense, because they're going to write reality anyway. So it's okay if they kind of create a paradox. And I'm curious to see what. I hope that causing a paradox like this will have weird effects. Like, it will actually kind of see kind of a fabric of the universe rip, sort of thing.
Enough so for things like Snark can still be alive, Malcolm can still have his hand, things like
that. Like, who knows? Like that. Yeah, and I'm also curious to see when they remake the universe, how is it going to be slightly different? Because I don't think it's going to be the same.
And I think that it will affect the other shows. Maybe not Supergirl as much, but I think that they will at least, like they did with Flashpoint, kind of have one or two things that were a little bit, you know, maybe like Deadshot's still alive or something like that.
Yeah. I am curious about that, because it does seem like Legends is kind of a... It's not the captain of the team, you know? It's kind of all these superhero teams. It does feel like it's a little backbench. But that's why I like it so much, and I'm. It makes me wonder if it actually is going to affect things like Flashpoint did.
Yeah, Connor Pearson Ward brings up: could the Legends create the Flashpoint paradox? You know, that Don had talked about. Yeah.
But I feel like it. I feel like it would need to affect it in some fashion, because I feel like you have to give it some stakes.
Yeah.
Even if it's not as far-reaching as the Flash was.
Right, and it might be, it would be nice to just bring Deadshot back.
Or something like that. And that to me is just like little things, you know, maybe like, that guy was cool, then, you know, Suicide Squad sucks, so now we can have him back on the show.
Yeah, but also he's not going to come back because of Suicide Squad, because it is Will Smith, I don't know.
Just let him do it.
Because he's fun. Like, I want him and Dig just to have their own little thing.
Now, it seems like it's going to be more than a Back to the Future 2 kind of situation, where they're kind of running around on the outskirts while they're watching their previous selves do stuff. It seems like they're really going to be mixing it up with the past versions of themselves
as well.
Do you think the whole episode is going to take place, so the majority of it is going to take place back in 1916, or that's just going to be maybe a break or two, and then we're back into present day to kind of wrap up the episode?
I think it's going to be Act 1 in Doom World still, and probably like Act 2 and 3 in the past, and then we're going to wrap it up in like some other place.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing, is the idea for this show seems to be always to set up the next season, so I think it'll be just briefly in the past, then we'll go to the present, then it'll sort of set up for that. And then, you know...
You're getting flack for saying Suicide Squad.
I know. I'm like, I'm sorry. It's not a comic book movie. If you watch it like you watch The Expendables, it's fine, but...
It's okay. We don't have to.
We don't need to. Yeah, guys.
It did suck.
There we go.
Ooh, evil.
That's what I say. It's like, you know, it isn't a comic book movie, guys. I'm sorry.
We've also got the issue of the spear. So I assume we rewrite reality, then destroy the spear by the end of the episode.
That's a good question. Maybe they'll. Will they still have the spear in their possession? Maybe they'll scatter it again. Maybe they'll do something like that.
I think it'll be scattered again, because to me it's always good to sort of have it in that back pocket in case they ever need to fix something else.
Right.
And it would make no sense to destroy it after this whole do we not sort of thing. It's like, let's just break it up again in case we need to fix something.
I'm going to say it so you don't have to. I think they should just give it to Constantine.
Oh, yeah. I totally could.
Drinky drinks.
It's not really so much a prediction, but just a story beat. Do you like, because the whole big crux of this episode was Thawne basically being the big man on campus and everybody else kind of bristling underneath his control, both the Legion and the Legend.
Yeah, because I think that's what he was trying to do.
Would you rather have seen more, because that's basically the majority of the season was Thawne kind of putting himself above Merlin and Dark.
Right.
But towards the end, when they kind of had that kind of moment where, like, we have to all work together on this, it almost seemed like when they're almost on an equal playing field, that was a little bit more enjoyable. Do you like them when it was a little bit more of an equal playing field, or do you like the idea of, even within the Legion, they're still kind of...
Yeah, because they're all alpha dogs, and that's what I was saying. I think if they all had their chance, they would try to write each other out of their own realities and try to be the top person. There's no way that they'll actually, like, want to share the world.
Yeah, and I think that was sort of the flaw with having them have it, which was an interesting conflict. But I want the Legion to stick around, so, you know, maybe if we don't have all alpha dogs, we get some new people. It's kind of unfortunate to see the Black Siren news for Arrow as opposed to having her join the Legion. But I prefer them to be the overarching villains of the entire universe. You know, that would be more fun than just having them show up on Legends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, well, and we did mention, like, possibly Snart staying around if the reality is written. But we also have Damian Dark. Forget that he's also dead as well, present day as well. Does he get rewritten so he's still around in the present day?
I don't know.
Would you want them? Or just, like, with it? Do you feel like all these villains should be brought back present day, back on the canvas? Or at least one or two of them should
be? I feel like they should be defeated at the end of this season. Whatever that means. It's a comic book show, so you can kill them, and that doesn't mean they're done. But so I wouldn't mind seeing them get kind of wiped out, but that doesn't mean they're necessarily done.
I don't know. I love my Magic Boys and Thawne, so like Little I would hate to see boys. Them. Yeah, it's like I would hate to see them not be a part of the universe. I like them messing with stuff. You know, they first destroyed in Wisteria Lane, and now they destroy the DC TV universe. But yeah, we've got a lot of people wanting the Citizen Cold storyline. Yeah, Alex Vinegar, I saw Jonathan Demme mention it, you know, for Mayor Snart. And that's what I've kind of wanted to see, is Snart be the mayor. Because that was such a fun storyline in comics.
Yeah, I mean, that might end up happening if they rewrite everything.
And see, Jonathan Demme is my bro. He loves the Sidney Palmer for season 3.
He'll
be the main villain. Yeah.
And then we also have the, because we had Sarah and Amaya touch on this before, where Sarah says, you know what, you were wrong. We should have used the spear earlier. If we get it again, rewrite it to fix everything that happens.
Right.
Do you feel Amaya is going to be tempted, or will she go back and try to change something that happens with her village and affect her timeline and her descendants?
Yeah, maybe she will. I think that maybe she can kind of rewrite things in little ways.
I don't see that happening because, I mean, it's already going to be a rewrite if we wind up, you know, having her back since Snart did, you know, shatter her. And to me, it's just like, you can't say that they can't alter reality because, let's face it, what Malcolm chose wasn't that bad. So it's like, you really don't seem like the right person there.
That's a good point. Yeah. When they rewrite reality, she's not going to be in charge of it because she's just going to be rewritten back into existence and not be one of the authors. So,
do you feel that, because Patrick J. Adams played Our Man back in the season premiere, killed prematurely in his timeline by Thawne, do you feel like he's going to, maybe that's Amaya's, maybe she doesn't fix her own timeline, but she does something and she brings back
Well, they're going to run into him again, right? When they go back in time? Is that around the same time, or is that...
Well, I guess it depends on, he was killed back in 41, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when are they going back?
They're going back to 1916.
Oh, so?
So do you feel like Amaya, given that opportunity, she says, I'm going to use the spear to at least bring Our Man back to life?
Maybe.
Speculations, guys. We've got them all.
Oh, boy. So let's maybe look at the hashtags that we wrote.
Why don't we
here.
Do it?
Yeah, and there are a few people that think that Neil should win just for the effort that he's put in tonight. Yeah.
What did he?
No, he's got another one. Hashtag Frank's Red Hot Speed Off.
Okay. Yes. All right. I'll draw you something special.
What Neil. Do we have, Dave, for this? For your chance
okay,
to win
I'm
Dave's
gonna read
doodle.
These. We got hashtag Grodchild. Hashtag Rip Hunter Hot Mess. Hashtag Rip Hunter Cake Master. Hashtag mullet steel.
Oh.
Hashtag great rippish bake off. Hashtag cake lord. Hashtag beef point. Hashtag Frank's future beef. Hashtag beef eaters of tomorrow. Hashtag dog heat. Hashtag
beef here. I don't know. I can't read my own writing, so that doesn't count. Hashtag mom of steel. Hashtag honey, I shrunk the wave rider. I gotta say, just because it seemed to win our hearts is mullet steel.
Yeah, I think so, because it just prompted a movie that needs to happen.
Yeah. Sure. So whoever, do you remember who did mullet steel?
I believe mullet steel was Billie Jean Girl 24. Oh, so yeah, let's confirm that, and you can send Dave a tweet.
Okay, send me a direct message at MR Dave Child on Twitter, or go to DaveChild.com and you can contact me through that. Let me know where you live so I can find out where you live and I can send you this little piece of paper.
Let me know.
Not in a creepy way. And if you don't, then we might have extras and maybe we'll do something special next week to get rid of these extra ones. If people actually want this, but keep in mind, I'm a terrible artist, and I'm really bad at writing things in general. So that's what you're getting, but we're all signing it. And if you want it, I got it.
You also will be on Dave's Christmas card list, too, as well.
Yeah, sure. And knowing how fast I ship these out, I'm sure you'll get those Christmas cards pretty timely when just Christmas happens. Just around
Labor Day.
Yeah.
Labor Day of the following year.
Yeah.
They come around. What a beautiful gift. Ladies and gentlemen, with the decision made for Dave's Doodles, we have nothing left to do but to wrap up this episode. But the fun does not stop here. It just gets started. You can like us on Facebook. For the love of everything that's good and kind in this universe, please, 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 please keep those 5-star reviews coming on iTunes. Please. Like Michael desperately needs all of them so he can get back here and be with us for the season finale next week. Thanks, everybody, for hopping in the YouTube chat. And, of course, you can subscribe to the YouTube channel. And if you're watching this even after the show's aired, you can comment down below.
Yes,
but
please.
Yes, but if you want to get in touch with any of us after the show's over, Lucretia, where can they find you?
You guys can always find me at LACRETIALYON anywhere on the internet, since there is only one. And I will be Lex Michael on the Arrow show tomorrow, guys. So you've got to send those 5 stars.
5 stars.
Please, please. Mm-hmm. It's dire days.
Yeah. And you know where to find me by now, but here it is again. I'm Dave Child. Find me at DaveChild.com or at MRDaveChild on the Instagram, the Twitter, the Snapchat. I love you. I'm Dave Child. Bye.
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie. Thanks very much to Neil in the booth. And we'll see you back here next week for, sadly, the season's finale.
No!
On the Legends of Tomorrow After Show, right here on AfterBuzz TV. Speed off!
Oh, God.
Yes.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Speed up!
What a lame-o.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.